Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download and 30-day free trial at www.audibletrial.com/coldslither. Over 150,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. Once again, that's audibletrial.com/coldslither.
The following is a presentation of the Cold Slither Podcast Network.
Welcome to another Science Chronicles.
Woo! Yeah, where's our sound effects? Dang it.
Yeah, I almost thought to ask you if you want to try to man
the sound.
Never
think of that ahead of time. Prop sounds. Here we
go. I am your host, Tim D-O-double-G. And I'm joined tonight by the man that's usually not hosting the soundboards, but he is in place of Agent 70, who's trying to make his way home. And I'm joined by @PCN_dirt on Twitter.
Thank you. Great to be here.
He couldn't make it last week, but he's here this week. Mm-hmm. 70 hopefully will be joining us at some point tonight.
Yeah, he said somebody actually got hit by the train.
So it's never a good thing.
Yeah, huge delays right now.
So we'll cross our fingers and, of course, that person and their family, that they are hopefully all right. Go to our website, theclicknation.com, where you can find previous episodes of the Comic Book Chronicles and comic book reviews. It's The Click Nation. Follow the Twitter account @TheClickNation. Subscribe on YouTube, iTunes, and Stitcher Radio. Just search for the...
Sorry. Jumped a little early on that one.
It's all right. You don't do this every week. Let's see what else. Google Plus. Search for The Click Nation. Book Chronicles on your favorite social media websites. We are part of the Cold Slither Podcasting Network, where you can find other podcasts, The Good and Terrible Show, The WrestleCast, and much more. Just go to codeslitherpodcast.com. And we are also a part of the Comic Related Podcasting Network. Just go to comicrelated.com. The different shows that are part of their network also. Dirt's website is popculturenetwork.com.
Oh. Wrong one. No, not that one. That's the one I was looking for. There we go.
You make fun of me when I try to do the same thing.
Yeah. It's harder than it looks.
Yeah, the pictures are deceiving sometimes. And we record live every Thursday night, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. If you're at home and you feel like checking us out, just put us on in the background while you're doing other things. We don't mind. Oh, and also, give us 5 views and ratings on iTunes and Stitcher. Help us move up the rankings. I think Stitcher, you have to give thumbs up. iTunes, they have the star rating. Help a brother out. Right. So we'll switch over to the news now. We start with the cinematic news, which includes TV and movie news, which, of course, they're first up. Spider-Man may appear in Captain America 3, but not with Andrew Garfield.
Ooh.
So I'm assuming a couple of the news segments will involve information where Sony was hacked and a lot of secret emails were leaked to the public. So supposedly Marvel have been discussing including Spider-Man in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. They're supposedly were at an impasse, but now I think there's newer news coming out that it could still be in the works or Civil War. That's one of those wait and see
Yeah, it's kind of one of those, I'll believe it when I see it.
Yeah, and I actually think it probably could happen. We did find out today, both sides have been talking about it. It wouldn't surprise me. Mark Singer to join the Arrow flashbacks. Not sure who that is. Nighy, Watanabe approached for Doctor Strange's Ancient One character. Constantine sees Batman vs. Superman script addresses Man of Steel violence criticisms.
What does that mean?
Perhaps in the script, maybe it just addressed some of the damage that was done during the Batman vs. Superman, or during, was it?
The battle damage.
Yes, the battle damage, yes.
Gotcha.
Let's highlight Age of Ultron action scenes. Some CW comic book TV news. The Flash recruits the Tomorrow People's alum Peyton List. Captain Cold's sister, whatever that character's name is.
I'm so behind on all those shows. I wanted to watch Constantine. I wanted to watch Flash. And
I thought you didn't watch that stuff.
I didn't like Arrow, but Flash was okay. I kind of enjoyed that one, but I only watched like the first maybe three episodes and then just, you know, fell out of the habit of watching weekly TV. And Constantine, I thought the first one was okay. Like, it wasn't great, but it seemed like it was kind of on the right track. It might take it a couple episodes to kind of get its feet, you know? Right. But I just, you know, watching weekly TV is just not something I'm really used to, so I'm more of a Netflix binge watcher, so.
I wish I could get into the... I still like watching stuff live. Mm-hmm. As you can tell, I'm an old person. Even though it's like I record stuff, but then never make the time to go back and watch the stuff I record.
Well, most of the time, it's TV shows are just on, you know, in the evening. And when in the evening is when I'm doing stuff, you know. If I'm not doing stuff with the kids or getting them ready for bed or whatever, then I'm out. You know, the evening is when I go out and do stuff. That's when I'm, you know, visiting other human beings and, you know, going to the bar and, you know, whatever. So it's just the idea of watching TV in prime time doesn't work for me. And I don't have a DVR. So if I don't watch something when it airs, then I'm going to have to download it or stream it, you know, online. So Hulu was kind of nice for that for a while, but the selection on Hulu is not the greatest. So usually I just kind of go to Xfinity On Demand and just see what's on there and maybe catch up with something. But otherwise, you know, just have to stream it and download it from somewhere.
So you are a Netflix man.
Yeah, pretty much.
I've got both. And every now and then I'll open Netflix, Hulu. I don't know why I still have it. It's like, eh. It's funny. I might have mentioned this. Oh, actually, I mentioned this on another podcast I was on this week. That'll be released next week. I was on a podcast from Cults of the Podcast for his classic team up. I believe it'll be released the week of Christmas. But I was mentioning how I went from having like no paying for no monthly, having no monthly like service now. Once you. I use my girlfriend's Netflix. I have Hulu. I have Hulu Plus. I have HBO Go because I pay for HBO. And I have Marvel Unlimited, WWE Network. That only gets opened on Sundays of pay-per-views. I still got to go back and watch that NXT Revolution from last week that I heard so much good things about.
Yeah. WWE Network has become kind of my go-to if I want to kill a couple hours. Because I'll go watch an old Raw or an old Nitro or watch the Monday Night War specials or the Behind the Ring specials. I just love watching all that stuff. I don't watch any of the new stuff except for the pay-per-views. That's the only thing I watch the new stuff. But I can easily go in and kill a couple hours watching all the old stuff.
Yeah. And since you mentioned Constantine earlier, I'm not sure if I skipped over this new set. Constantine sees a 25% jump in ratings.
So why?
Not sure. I don't know if they had a guest star, if that was the episode where the Spectre guest starred or not, or what. But
well, I know it's been having some problems in the ratings, and some of the actors have been, you know, going on Twitter and Instagram and asking people to watch the show. So maybe that's had a difference.
Yeah, hopefully. Sleepy Hollow's Nicholas Gonzalez, Viola Davis. Bags Amanda Waller role in Suicide Squad. So I'm assuming either Oprah declined or just they chose Viola Davis over her. Avengers Age of Ultron is bigger. The Vision's origin is confirmed. Hmm. So I know, was it like Slash Film had this big interview that's been making rounds with where he's been talking about, you know, making Avengers 2 and how he wasn't even sure he was going to do an Avengers 2. And, you know, discuss I and Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver. So I'm sure that's what that deals with. I just dropped my bandwidth, so hopefully that'll...
Yeah, hopefully that helps.
Let's see. So in comic book news, Batman Arkham Knight prequel comic coming in 2015. So the prequel comic is related to the Batman Arkham Knight video game that comes out in 2015. Spider-Man takes on the criminal underworld in Spiral, which I believe issues being written by Jerry Conway coming back to Spider-Man, art by Carlo Barbieri, whose art I've been enjoying lately. And it's, I think it deals with that who started appearing, I'm assuming during Amazing Spider-Man and then throughout the Superior Spider-Man book. Marvel leads Novemberman. Oh, it's the new 52 for all of Archie comics, as every Archie book gets rebooted to tell realistic teenage drama, and there'll be a new Archie made in Fiona Staples. Care to elaborate?
No. I mean, it's... The thing that made the Archie universe work was that it was just timeless. And you could go read a story from the 60s, and maybe the fashions weren't quite the same, but otherwise the story still worked. And this is just following their trend of trying to distance themselves from everything they've done for the last, 70 years, whatever, that they've been doing comics. Now it's got to be a teen drama. I'm sure someone's going to get pregnant at some point. Someone's going to get an STD. Someone's dad's going to lose their job, and they think they're going to lose their house. And, you know, every bad 90210, Melrose Place, Swan's Crossing, I don't know, any of those bad, like, teenage soap opera things are what they're going to shoot for. And it's no longer – Archie, except for their license stuff, is less and less kid-friendly and all ages appropriate anymore.
Yeah. I'm not sure what else I have to add to it. The announcement caught my... I haven't really paid attention to Archie comics, I don't think, ever. I remember as a kid being aware of, you know, Archie, and I'm assuming they might have had a... Was there a cartoon back in the 90s, maybe?
Yeah, they've had a couple different cartoons over the years.
Okay. So that's my familiarity with the product line. Hopefully it leads to...
Well, every time they do one of these stunts, it's just like every other comic publisher stunts, where it bumps it up for, you know, a month or two, and then it just kind of drops back to nothing. And it seems like they just keep wanting to do bigger and bigger stunts, keep trying to push it up higher and higher and higher, but it never seems to last, really. So, I don't know.
Yeah. Not ruined Saga. But I think Fiona Staples came out and said that it won't interrupt her work on that, because I'm sure she's just doing like the first like three issues, and then someone else will be on it, probably during like. And I think I realized why my internet is slow, but is probably like jumping around. But as it fits it, I'd have to get off my Wi-Fi, which would. We will continue on. Basically, for those who don't know and probably don't care, my old router that I've had for probably close to 10 years finally decided to die. So I got a new one this past Sunday, which is, you know, nice newer router that has two different networks, a 2G, 2 gigahertz, and a 5 gigahertz network, and I'm on the 5. And I think I noticed last night or the night before, internet isn't as good because my laptop probably can't handle it. So I need to be on the 2, but that would cut out our recording right now. Let's see. Okay, so we mentioned, well, actually, I didn't mention, but the comic book companies, publishers came out with their March 2015 solicits this week. And the big news coming from DC was a whole Green Lantern Corps, New Guardians, Red Lanterns, going off the top of my head, Aquaman and the Others, Infinity Man and the Others. Is that what the book is called?
The Tomorrow People? Or
yeah, Infinity People.
Whatever.
Yeah, that. I think a couple others.
Arkham Manor, which just started, is getting canceled.
Yes.
But so it's going to go like 6 issues or something. That's going to be it.
Since just because it's set up around Batman Eternal, which also ends that month, along with Earth 2 and New Futures End and Worlds End. Mm-hmm. Plus, what's his name? Jerry Duggan is Marvel exclusive, so he would have had to get off Arkham Manor anyway. Because they had their little writer's retreat last week. So everyone is speculating, you know, are they just going to relaunch stuff with new number ones after the 2 month break? Is it going to be another reboot where everything is new? My thought
maybe.
Is
maybe.
Why wouldn't like everything end?
Well, some books like Superman, you're going to have a Superman. You know, if everything reboots again, you'd still have a Superman and a Batman, but maybe it reboots them back to square one. You can just keep using the numbers, but you know, those characters continue. But like with Green Lantern, maybe the rest of the core is wiped out. Maybe it goes back to just him on Earth and he doesn't know about the other ones. Or maybe it goes all the way back and we get an Alan Scott on Earth who has a weakness to wood, but there's no Guardians, there's no Green Lantern Corps, there's none of that stuff. I mean, who knows?
As someone that's not that never grew up as a big DC person, it is at least a little exciting to see, like, hey, what do they have planned?
It is, and I've always enjoyed the alternate Earth stuff. I've always enjoyed whenever they do the time travels, the Crisis type stuff. I mean, Crisis, for me, when I was growing up, that was the story that turned comics from a kid's thing to a more grown-up thing. It was a long, drawn-out story. You met new characters. Characters died off. You know, you had all the alternate Earths and everything. So that's really, you know, a key part of my development as a comic fan. So every time they do something that's time travel or alternate Earths or, you know, a Crisis tie-in type of thing, then I always really enjoy it. So
that means you're enjoying Multiversity and looking forward to Convergence.
I'm looking forward to Convergence. I'm not a big fan of Multiversity just because I don't like the way Grant Morrison tends to write it. The one from this week with Thunderworld, all the Shazam characters, that one was okay. But some of the other ones he's done as part of that series, I haven't cared for at all. So it just kind of depends on how it's done, and I don't particularly like Grant Morrison's way of doing it.
Okay. Yeah, I haven't got to the so I guess I'm going to try to check it out, at least flip through it. So we'll just have to wait and see. Of course, we'll find out in like 2 more months or 3 more months when the solicit Convergence is over, come out to see what they have planned. Where was I? We talked about that. So war will begin after Convergence. Powers returns with a new number one and a new jumping on point. Okay.
To coincide with the new show, probably.
Probably. CM Punk's going to write a comic for Vertigo, something sports in the name, if I remember correctly. Remastered original Marvel Star Wars graphic novels come in 2015.
Yeah, have you seen the sample artwork they released for that?
Mm-mm.
They're recoloring the entire thing. So the old colors, you know, were just like the standard old watercolor that they did in like the late 70s where, you know, the backgrounds would all be a solid yellow. Darth Vader would just be black with maybe some blue highlights, you know. And they're redoing it. They're going back to the original line artwork and they're computer coloring everything.
Oh.
So that it looks like it except for the art style of the way it's drawn, it looks like a brand new comic. So it's actually pretty neat.
So some colorists got some paying gigs off of that.
It's kind of like what they did with Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. where they took the old black and white Mirage Studios comics, and IDW for the last couple of years has been re-releasing them, updated with brand new coloring. And so you get an idea of what it would have looked like if it had come out, you know, now. It's the same thing with the Star Wars ones. If they had come out now, this is kind of how it would look with that modern coloring. But also kind of fixing the problems that the comic books did back in those days, where, you know, if you watch Star Wars, a lot of the ships for the special effects, you know, especially when it opens, they're all in plain white hallways and with these plain white panels. And when they did comics back then, that just didn't look exciting enough because you couldn't really do anything with the coloring of it. So everything was brown or yellow or a light red or something, just because they had no other way to give it some sort of look. But now, even if it's a white panel wall, they can put some reflective elements on it. They can put some sheen to it. They can put, some gloss look on it that they couldn't do before. So they kind of changed things to make it look exciting because they didn't have the technology to do a nice coloring system on it. And now that they actually can, it looks more true to the actual films. Darth Vader is not a black suit with blue highlights, but that's how they always did it because, you know, they had no other way of really showing it off. But now they can do the modern coloring. They're actually making it look more the way it should. So it's really kind of neat to see how they do that stuff.
Okay. Marvel signs G. Willow Wilson to an exclusive deal, and they tease that she has a new project on the way in the future. I say it's probably going to be Black Panther.
You know, Marvel just released their 2015 calendar through Diamond comic distributors this week. And they always do something to hype up the books that are coming out. So, like, for instance, January is Star Wars. And it shows the John Cassidy artwork for the new Star Wars. And, you know, for Secret Wars, they have the month of Secret Wars. It's got the logo, and it shows a bunch of the different characters and things like that. But I notice as you go through the year, they're less and less specific about what's coming out in each particular month because they haven't planned all that way far ahead. But I did notice that I think December of next year is Black Panther. And it's the old John Romita Jr. artwork of Black Panther from like 2006 or whatever when they did that series. Right.
Yeah.
But it made me think, like, well, that's weird. Why would they choose Black Panther? He's not in the middle of anything and they haven't announced anything. So there's got to be something on the way. So if you look at that and you think Black Panther, then that would make sense of why they would highlight Black Panther in the calendar.
Interesting. That is a long way or a year from now to...
Well, and not necessarily that December of next year is when the book would come out, but it just shows that they have something Black Panther in the works and they want people to be thinking about it.
Yeah. You know? Like you said, they maybe haven't planned... Probably not that closely tied together because I was going to say they just had their winter retreat 6 months ahead. I always wonder how far ahead. I know, you know, the retreats are, you know, stuff for the future, but like just how far ahead are they?
Right. Well, and if they launch the book in May or June, then by December they could be looking at a big Avengers crossover or an annual or, you know, something like that. Or maybe the first trade will be coming out in December. So,
could you wonder, is like maybe, like the Secret War stuff, or was that probably the retreat prior to this one? And then this one would be all the stuff like for going into 2016. Yeah. I'd assume they probably already have 20 for the most part.
You'd think so, but you never know.
But as Marvel and DC are crossing over, so you gotta get ready for that. So they're finally, I guess since they came to terms with his estate, they're finally putting out work and celebrating him. The comics we know today. Mad artist Jack Davis retires after 60-plus year career. All 50 free comic book day 2015 titles now with pictures and text. Zenoscope celebrates 10 years in 2015. And Janine Schaefer to leave Marvel Comics for Los Angeles, which I just... saw that news as I was opening the spreadsheet tonight, getting ready. So for those that don't know, Janine Schaefer took over for C.B. Sobolski as the talent scout for Marvel. She's also married to DC editor Mark Doyle. And he, I guess, originally has to Los Angeles with DC, but they probably listened to all his demands, and that were enough to get him to go. Because both left the Bat family to go to Marvel, they need to get someone to keep Scott Snyder happy. So since Doyle was Snyder's American Vampire editor, it made him the Batman editor. And he's actually, I've enjoyed the stuff he's done as the Batman editor. A lot of new projects have come out. CBR has an article up that I think came up just today that I haven't had a chance to read. Sort of highlight how there's a Bat book for every type of fan out there to choose from. I think more family books should be like that. They all don't have to be the same. Offer different spice of life.
Like how Green Lantern keeps doing all these big crossovers in between all the books instead of letting each book tell its own story.
Yeah. I like the creators on Green Lantern. It's just I can't get in. I like Red Lanterns because Red Lanterns actually for a time was kind of off doing his own thing with Guy. But yeah, it would be nice to more than 6 months without a crossover pulling all the books back in together again. Mm-hmm. And I say this as someone that actually kind of started trying to read the Godhead books a couple weeks ago, and it seems cool, but that's a lot to read.
Yeah, it got away from me. I've got a lot of catching up to do on Godhead.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I know you were enjoying it when it first started.
Mm-hmm. But you know, once you miss a week, yeah, the next week comes and you've got a lot more to catch up on. You know.
Yeah. Do your weekend reading.
Ugh.
Sounds horrible.
I think Wednesday night is really, I can read on Wednesday night and sometimes maybe Sunday afternoon, and that's about it.
Yeah. I'm taking a couple of days off work next week, so hopefully, fingers crossed, I get a whole bunch of stuff done.
Hopefully you get at least one day off next week.
Oh, yeah.
Next Thursday, hopefully you're off.
Thursday night off too, by the way. I'm trying to make that catch up on my Image books week.
Don't tell Agent 70 that we're taking the week off and just send him a hangout notice, like 10 minutes before the show's about to start. Are you ready to do the show? What?
Our big 100th episode. Let's go. Let's see what's in the variant cover news. Oh, so, yeah. From The Matrix to The Mask. Actually, that's not the news I thought it was going to be. I know they announced something about movie variants. I thought that was from March. Whereas, like, a whole bunch of the DC covers are to different movie posters.
Yep. Although there's no Tron, so why bother?
Let's see. Simon Bianchi and Joe Quiñones covers for Star Wars number one for Books a Million and King's Comics. That's 59, I'm assuming, variant covers so far.
Jeez.
Yes. That's Star Wars of the 1 million is it 1 million copies, so I was about to say, yep. $1 million. That wouldn't be accurate.
Way more than $1 million.
All right, so time for me to read our ad for the Cults of the Podcasting Network. This week it's from audible.com, free 30-day trial. I should have read this beforehand. So today's podcast is brought to you by audible.com. Get a free audiobook download and 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com. And then it says, I'm assuming it's probably Cults of the Podcast. Over 150,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. For you, the listener Chronicles podcast, Audible is offering a free audio book download. Is that the same thing I just read? Titles are Gone Girl by Gillian Flynn, What I Know for Sure by Oprah Winfrey, Glengarry Glen Ross by David Mamet, and The Maze Runner Book 1 by James Dashner. Book today, go to audibletrial.com/Cults of the Podcast. Again, that's audibletrial.com/Cults of the Podcast for your free audiobook. Worst live reads.
And now you've lost a sponsor.
Yes. Yeah, I'm at least reading it. Hey, and Agent 70 is free. Let me send him the invite. Name is always different. I have to think of what name to send the invite to. Let's give him a moment. While that's going on, I can update the spreadsheet with what I read this week, which you read a lot.
I did read a lot this week.
Yeah. You weren't here last week, and then the previous 2 weeks, you didn't read anything.
Well, I read like one book.
Yeah, one or two.
Yeah.
Let's see. I guess while we wait for him to come, is there a book that you'd like to start us off with? Oh, wait. Is he coming?
Well, we've got his logo. What more do you need?
Yeah. We need the sound effects.
Let's see. What can I talk about real quick before we get into a whole lot of other stuff? Actually, did you happen to read Miles Morales this week?
No, and I'm kind of mad I didn't. I was gonna try to read two books before the show tonight.
Well, okay. Here's what I'll tell you.
Neither.
In Miles Morales number 8, they finally explain why his dad disappeared, and why they're starting to explain why his dad hates superheroes so much. And so they're giving you this backstory about everything that's happened with Miles' dad. It's a pretty awesome backstory. When you see what happens with his dad, you really understand why he's been acting the way he's been acting around Miles, and especially why he disappeared. But two, all the art is still from David Marquez, but the background, the backstory that they show, the flashbacks, it looks entirely different. It is a completely different art style.
His art style, huh?
Yeah, so for the flashbacks, it has a different, like a grittier type look to it. It's a lot darker. There's a lot more shadow. He does some funky kind of 80s hairstyles in a couple of them. That's pretty cool. I was reading through the book, and I thought, well, this is a different guy. I wonder who this artist is. And I went and checked the credits, and sure enough, it's just David Marquez. Same guy who always does it. He just changes up his art style for the flashback story. So I was really impressed with how he was able to pull it off. And so, again, story is great. Artwork's great. It's explaining a lot of stuff that, you know, you just have questions about from the series. So I gave it a thumbs up. I really liked it.
Nice.
It's a good book.
Now we can.
I hear sound effects, but I don't hear talking.
Yeah, we hear the sound effects, but not the...
No voice. It's like the same problem you had a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, but I think for that we kicked you off and you came back, right? I think that fits it. But you just joined us.
Yeah, so it should be fine.
Well, that gets worked out. I will bring up Batman and Robin number 37.
I haven't had a chance to read that one yet. That's one I wanted to get to that I didn't.
If you've got the spoiler sound effect.
There you go.
Someone makes their return this issue. Who could it be?
Is it Bat-Cow?
He does not make an appearance. Thank you for that, Agent 70. Oh, we still can't hear you. Leave and come back. Maybe that'll fix it again. And he's gone. So,
whew, I thought he'd never leave.
So in Batman 30...
Batman and Robin?
Batman and Robin 37. Batman and Darkseid have a little fight off over Damian's corpse. And of course, Cyborg and Batgirl, Red Robin, and Red Hood with them. It's mostly a fight between Darkseid and Batman, and there's a lot of references made initial Justice League arc where Batman and the Justice League took down Darkseid. He's a little angry about that, bitter, you can say. But I've been loving this series so far.
Well, the story arc.
Yeah, the story
arc. Hey, we can hear you, yay!
Yay!
Hey, so, 70, everyone.
I'm here. What's up, everybody? I was trying to chime in on the Miles Morales art bit. I too did not realize that that was Marquez until I went back to the beginning and checked the credits.
Yep.
And regarding this Batman and Robin issue, it was strangely compelling up until the point where they get to the end and the thing happens that everyone doesn't want to spoil. And then I was kind of like, okay. But the lead up to it was pretty good. I enjoyed that. You know, that's pretty much what I have to say about this. I'm kind of curious to see where they go from here. But, you know, if you've been reading or listening to some of our news stories, we already know what's going to happen to Damian post this. So.
Yeah, but what if we live a life that's spoiler-free?
That's right. Well, too bad.
You're in the wrong business.
Seriously. love it.
Dirt and myself have tossed out a book. Is there one you'd like to bring up for discussion in Agent 70?
Sure. This is what I get for missing the entirety of the news, so I'm going to have to go back and read all that later. So you tossed out Miles Morales and Batman and Robin number 37. Did anyone read Batman number 37?
Yep.
So on my way home on this extended commute tonight, I was able to squeeze in Batman 37 on during the ride, and it was a pretty interesting read, although it does feel like we've been here before. It's just slightly amped up. You know, it's a mix of various Contagion storylines, and you know, they even bring in some hints of the movies. You know, in terms of quarantining and kind of closing off Gotham City.
Kind of, and what happened in the first one with the Scarecrow gas.
Exactly. So, you know, it's an interesting take on the Joker. It's, you know, it's just escalating, you know, and I'm not so sure I'm comfortable with how they're you know, the direction that they're going in. Right now, we're still in the middle of this this endgame storyline. I'm not sure how many more chapters there are. I think we're right smack in the middle of it, so it's definitely a bridge in the story that gets from you know, the beginning to the end. We're in one of the middle parts, and you know, it's probably one of the more dramatic issues I've read of Snyder's recent run, because it's, you know, it's the Joker, it's the end game. So there's definitely some, you know, some drama in this, as opposed to maybe some subtle character development.
Well, and I just kind of enjoyed the way that you see that Joker this time around, especially in the New 52, he's much more, I don't even know what the right word is that I'm thinking of, but he prepares a lot more. He doesn't just jump into things. You can see that he's planted a lot of seeds. He's gone back and photoshopped archives of the history of Gotham to kind of build on his own personal legend, and done a lot of things to play mind games that are just kind of beyond the usual thing that you'd think of. He's not just kidnapping someone's daughter and tying her to a giant Joker card and hanging over a vat of acid. You know?
God forbid, you know, the good old days.
Well, you know, it's been done several times. Mm-hmm. So I like the fact that they do set him up as somewhat more intelligent than that. You know, it's not the Adam West, you know, bad guy villains with these crazy outlandish schemes. His schemes are, I mean, they're still big. I mean, they're still, you know, life-shattering for many people, but they are a lot better thought out.
Did you have to kind of flip back to Batman 36 to figure out how we got from 36 to 37?
No.
And isn't is
do you recall what happened at the end of 36?
I don't remember.
So it leaves on.
He was in Arkham Manor.
Correct.
And cage,
he was in
right?
the clutches. Right. He was in the clutches of the Joker, and what's implied is that he gets shot. And the opening scene of 37 is nowhere near that. You know, the end of where we left off at 36. So, you know, forgive me for having to kind of flip it open again to figure out the one thing. I didn't have a chance to take notes, but the one thing that, you know, that gave me that I had some issues with was how we bridged from 36 to 37.
See, it's been so long since it feels like I've read 36 that it didn't even, like, I remember the broad strokes of the storyline.
Right.
So, you know, it's like, oh, you're right, Alfred's daughter, got it. And I just kind of moved on from there. I didn't...
got it.
It didn't even process the rest of it.
That's a good... I'm glad you did bring that up, though.
Maybe when you go back and flip to it, you'll see what I mean, and then you'll think, well, how did we get here?
I wonder if he was already hallucinating from the fear toxin at that point.
Possibly. And it's also interesting, now that I have a chance to kind of flip through it again, I was thinking as I was reading this, so, you know, we have certain capabilities established for Batman villains, and obviously, you know, the Joker has got to have some sort of chemistry background or something that's come up with this toxin over and over again, because they imply that Batman's had to come up with over 100, you know, or more antidotes every time a new variation pops up. And it's interesting to see how, not just that he's a planner, but that he's probably a brilliant biochemist.
And the azo virus that's going on in Justice League right now.
Yes. God forbid we try to, you know, capitalize on the Ebola fear, right?
Well, I'm sure they had this planned before all of that was happening. But I did think it was funny. I read Batman, Justice League, and Batman, Superman, and they're all running very similar storylines right now, almost as if the editors kind of forgot to talk to each other, or maybe this happened like during the editorial switch or something. I don't know, but somewhere lines got crossed, and everybody's doing like almost the exact same thing all of a sudden.
Usually, that happens on like Marvel and DC doing the same. Books in the same universe do the same thing as well.
Right, now they're crossing over just in between story arcs. It must be these must be the storylines that they figured that they would sort of lead up to their break, you know, their convergence break, because I think this is what wraps up right before convergence, correct?
Well, there's still a couple months to convergence, so.
Okay.
Well, I don't know how many chapters this is.
But it's three more, January, February, March, would lead up to the end. If this is a six-part story, which it probably is.
All right, there you go. So it probably does. It's just a coincidence that they all kind of have a similar storyline. All right. Let's see.
Do you want to bring up Batman, Superman, since you just alluded to it, Dirk?
Sure. If I can find it here real quick. Batman, is anyone else reading that, or am I the only one?
I've tried reading it on and off. I didn't have a chance to read it this week.
I kind of want to read it again. I was reading it when it first launched, but then I was like, why am I retrying? I'm a big fan of him.
I read this very quickly this week, so I can talk about it, but go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, the past two issues of Batman Superman have separated out from the storylines that came before. They started a new arc, and so all of that other J. Lee, Earth 2, time travel, is it not time travel, like all that kind of stuff is gone, so luckily you can just start with the last issue, and it's a decent story from there forward. But basically what happens in this book is that Superman is getting his own Joker, so to speak. That's the only way that Batman can think to explain it to Superman, that this villain is his Joker. He's a new villain that they can't figure out exactly who it is, but he is a psychopath.
Right. And they tease that it's another character in this issue, but it turns out that it's not.
Right. They think it's Lobo. You can see Lobo's eyes and his face paint or face tattoo or whatever on the cover.
I didn't recognize it, so that's why I tried not to spoil it.
Yeah, he's right there.
That's who I thought it was. So it's not Lobo?
Yeah, well, they meet up with Lobo, but it turns out Lobo's not the guy they're looking for.
Right. I'm not familiar with the new 52 iteration of Lobo, so I did not recognize that on the cover.
Yeah, that's the first thing. I was like, oh, look, it's Lobo.
But the story has actually been pretty good in these last two issues. And maybe part of that is because it has something to do with what came before in this series.
So I can read this issue and understand what's going on?
Start with the last one.
Okay.
Yeah, but you can pick this up, but as Dirt said, it's better to pick up the last one, because I think the last one I had a pretty positive review on. Mm-hmm. This issue, I'm still very much impressed by the art by Syat, is his last name, I believe. I could be getting it wrong. I was just looking at the credits page, but you know, the art is very, you know, is very sharp. It's definitely reminiscent. Ardian Cyaf, or Cyaf, and you know, it's very sharp. It's obviously influenced by Jim Lee's style, but you know, it's very sharp, as I said, and you know, lends itself to you know, to the story. He does a good job in storytelling. From you know, there's a couple of cool panels in here. Especially something that's kind of nightmarish when it comes to there's an appearance by one of the lead villains, or one of the villains in the Green Lantern movie. I hate to bring up the Green Lantern movie, but every time I see him, you know, in the New 52, I'm like, oh, he was in the Green Lantern movie, and he looks very much like he did in the Green Lantern movie.
Well, because that's the way he's always looked in the comics.
No, exactly. No, but the way they're drawing him. You know, there's just a certain way, like the way his hair pattern was, like, or maybe the particular shape of his oblong head, was very reminiscent of the movie.
I think what I like about this story is that it is unfolding like a serial killer murder mystery. I mean, that's maybe really how it seems to be playing out. If you've seen any movie where, you know, FBI agents or, you know, the local police force or whoever are trying to track down this serial killer who's got an agenda against a key character and taking out people that mean something, or in some cases just substitutes, people who stand for something, who symbolize something. Mm-hmm. That's exactly what's going on here.
Right. And this is the classic twist, right? And I was going to say, this is the classic twist of, you know, the almost, you know, or at least the prime suspect becoming, a secondary figure, as the main culprit is still, you know, to be found.
Right, right. Especially they think that one person is responsible for it, and he turns out to be another victim. You know, which,
right.
Of course, is he victimizing himself, or you know? I mean, you always have that stuff going on. So I enjoy those types of stories. So I've really enjoyed this arc. So I'm really looking forward to see how it plays out.
This is some of Pak's best stuff.
Read.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's see. What else did I squeeze in this week?
What else did I read?
You read the Justice League?
I did.
I did not.
Continuing on this idea of similar stories, this is similar to what was happening in Batman. You've got another virus on the loose, and Superman, Batman have to figure out what's going on. And basically, Lex Luthor created a virus that was supposed to take the superpowers away from a superhuman, but it has this unintended side effect that it empowers people who don't have powers.
Right.
So people with powers lose them, and people without them gain them. And so it's caused this, you know, obviously it's a problem.
Right. It basically causes, you know, the capabilities of the Amazo android to be kind of replicated in organics, you know, by a human being.
So that's where it comes
that's
from.
Exactly. It's an interesting twist on that idea. The art in this, you know, I'm sorry to harp on the art again. This is Jason Fabok, who, you know, as we all know, as I've always said, when you see him drawing Batman Eternal, that's the issue to pick up on, you know, because there's something important happening. So he's now the main artist on Justice League, and he does a credible job. As I said, he's he's definitely got the Jim Lee style down. The story, there's an interesting bit in here about Luthor and Luthor's sister Lena.
Yeah.
And you know, there's a nice exchange between the two, with regards to why Luthor would even have engineered this virus. And you know, it's an interesting take on Luthor. You know, listen, growing up, I didn't even know Luthor had any siblings, and it's interesting that they've introduced one in the New 52, and giving him kind of a slightly deeper backstory with the sibling as opposed to just the father-son relationship that we've known before.
Mm-hmm. Well, and her story really develops his character, because she got sick, and he tried to save her. And the way the story originally played out is you thought she was dead. Like, he tried to save her, and he couldn't save her, and she died. But then you find out later on that she's actually alive. He couldn't save her in the sense of curing her disease, but he was able to keep her alive.
Hmm.
So she lives, but she lives as a symbol of his failure. So it's not that he has this hole where a dead person is, because you can move on from that and you can grow from that. But for Lex Luthor, he loves his sister. He tried to save her, and she's wheelchair-bound or bedridden or whatever it is. And that is a continuing living symbol of the one time he failed.
Oh, where have they been? Where have they been developing that storyline?
Oh,
has it been in the Justice League, or has it just been throughout the New 52?
It's been in Superman books, right?
Yeah, it was either Superman or Action. I don't remember.
Okay, that would explain why I wasn't that familiar with the character to begin with.
A book here too,
right? So that explains why I wasn't that familiar with.
I really like that aspect of his backstory that they've added there. I think that really adds something to his personality and to what drives him.
It does. It does. I agree.
All new Captain America number 2. Anyone else read it?
I did read this. I apologize for not having my list input, but I did read this. So what do you think, Tim?
I liked it a lot more than the second issue, or than the first
issue. The first issue.
Probably because it was more action. It was Nomad and all new Falcap taking on this new form of Hydra, which basically just appears as basically a big group of supervillains. We've learned more about this boy that they were sent to, I guess, recover, and just like
he's not what he seems.
Yes, he's not what he seems, and just like Agent 70 referenced previous issue of Batman, I need to go back and reread all new Captain America number 1 to remember
how we got to this point.
Yeah, because I was like, wait, how? Elevator? What? So
I did the same thing. Luckily, I was able to get to flip back to my my copy of All New Cap number 1. You know, it's funny that I did it for 2 books on my ride home today. I had to kind of flash back and open up the previous issue to see where on earth we were, so that I could figure out where we are now. So we have this, confrontation between Cap, Nomad, and this, group of relatively formidable bad guys. And we find out that if anyone has been reading or has read Secret Avengers, one of the locales that's played a big role in Secret Avengers, or at least in the volumes previous to the current one, I believe, a country, Bagalia, it becomes part of the story. And
also, if you read the Avengers Undercover book.
Ah, there you go. That's right. I forgot about that one.
That's where I knew it from.
So we have a great little guest appearance by a hero for hire. We'll put it that way, because I'm not sure if she has any other team affiliations at this point. But it's a nice little appearance. And we do end the story on a cliffhanger. And this is my biggest critique of this issue, is that last panel, Tim, that last panel seems so out of character, just too modern.
I'm trying to remember how the book ended now.
Let me put it this way. I think there was either a selfie or a picture taken with a cell phone. It's definitely a picture.
Yeah.
And when I saw that, I was like, oh, Remender, seriously? This is just low class. This is like low brow. You know, it's just pandering to the younger kids.
Now, also bring up, there's a lot of similarities between this and Captain America: The Winter Soldier.
The movie?
Yes. As far as Hydra's schemes.
Oh yes, I see.
And I'll just say, I don't mind it. It's very intriguing if that's actually true.
No, agreed.
Yeah, because I can see people complaining, oh, you're just copying the movies. So what?
Yeah, exactly, because we still need to see it in the comics.
This time will actually make for interesting story beats for the comics.
Absolutely. No, I agree. No, it's a good point you bring up. So other than that last panel, I thought the last half of the book read pretty well. So, I'm enjoying where this is going. I wish they would have ended it one panel before that stupid picture taking. Because, if you recall, like I said, I'm not trying to spoil it, but there's a great thing that happens, you know, it's a pretty dramatic turn of events that happens right before this awful cell phone picture. And I think if they would have ended it on that, it would have been a great dramatic cliffhanger and, you know.
A little early for that.
Exactly. No, but a great way to draw us into the next issue, I mean.
Yeah. Well, I'm saying, like, the thing that happened before the picture taken, it seems kind of early in the series for that to be, you know, teased.
Yeah, but I also think that they're trying to develop this particular character and show what his capabilities are, so we may be surprised in the next issue to see how this character escapes that particular predicament.
So, the artwork is really, really good on this as well.
Yeah, Stuart Immonen.
Oh, is that who it is?
Oh, yeah.
I didn't pay any attention to who it was. I just started flipping through it, and I was like, wow, this is really good. And there you go, that's why.
Because he was killing it on All New X-Men. He's just the type of artist they needed for this high profile book.
Definitely, definitely.
It's funny, I saw, I said it today, but he was saying how it's a crime how Stuart Immonen hasn't won a Eisner Award yet. Hmm. And I agree.
All right. Okay. All right, let's see. What else? God, there's so much stuff out this week.
Y'all read more than I did, it looks like.
I did not get to nearly everything I wanted to read this week.
I can save that for later.
Did anyone read Ms. Marvel number 10?
Not yet.
This was a great, fun read. This is G. Willow Wilson putting, I guess, her take on the current teenage generation. She's putting it out there. She's using Kamala Khan as a way to comment on the current teenage and maybe preteen generation. And it's pretty interesting. It doesn't come off as preaching. It doesn't come off as overly heavy-handed social commentary. It's just it was engaging to me. I had a good time reading this. There's still superhero action to be had. The inventor is being portrayed as a pretty creative and crafty villain. He does have an interesting visual. He looks like a bird. And, you know, it makes for a pretty interesting visual, and Adrian Alfona's art definitely lends to that. The style is quirky, but it works so well for this. As always, his lockjaw is one of the best lockjaws, you know, because it comes off as cute, but still, you know, big and inhuman dog, or inhuman turned dog. It's just a great story right now. I'm enjoying this. This is one of my candidates for Click of the Week because of how much fun I had reading it. You know, it's one of those books where, you know, I don't mind recommending this to people who are looking to pick something up. It continues a great run.
Nice. What you got for us, Dirt?
How about Deathlok? You ready to read Deathlok?
That came out this week?
I've read the first issue, but I haven't read second or third yet.
I read the second. I did not read this issue.
I'm really enjoying this series, and I'm not traditionally a big fan of the Deathlok character, but they've basically, you know, taken the name, really, and just kind of ran with it off on their own in many respects. You have this guy who's a single father who thinks he's in this, you know, Doctors Without Borders group, and it turns out every time he goes to help somebody, he's drawn into this plot to be this assassin, and they wipe his memory at the end of every mission, so he never remembers that he's done this stuff. And the continuing ongoing story here is that he was in a mission that killed a S.H.I.E.L.D. agent, and so mm-hmm. S.H.I.E.L.D. is starting to get involved, and then he kills somebody else, I forget who, and Domino is brought in to eventually track him down. So
right, end of last issue.
Yeah, so he's caught in the middle of all these things going on, which he has no memory of, has no idea is happening. And you can just see how, you know, these different groups are doing these, you know, political plays against each other, basically is what it comes down to. He gets sent in somewhere to kill a bunch of guys or to save a bunch of guys or, you know, whatever, and it's never quite exactly what you think it is with the mission that he's doing. There's always some other nefarious design going on with what he's doing. And so I like the guy. Like, I feel bad for the guy. Mm-hmm. You know, when you see the way his life is kind of crumbling around him because he keeps having to go off on these missions and he can never quite remember what's really going on. It just feels like his life is getting away from him. And at the same time, I'm just enjoying the intrigue of what's happening and how this web is being woven around him, and I'm you know, really looking forward to see, you know, what eventually happens to this guy with the storyline. It's almost to a degree, if you take the idea of RoboCop, is what came to my mind with that whole man versus machine aspect going on with it, and the fact that he has very little control over what his life really is, even though it's only at these particular moments. And then when they wipe his memory and send him home, he's back to living his regular life without knowledge of what's been happening. I just find that it's just a very intriguing story. I really feel for the character, and I'm really enjoying what's happening.
Excellent. I'm glad you like it. And like I said, Nathan Edmondson should be writing every gun-toting Marvel character.
He's great on Punisher. He's great on The Activity, you know.
Speaking of The Activity, did you happen to pick up this week's issue?
I have not read it yet.
I was surprised to see it back out on the stands.
Yeah, so was I. But I noticed that Mitch Gerards was not on Punisher recently, so I wondered if he was working on this.
Right, and here they are. And it was funny, the first thing I noticed, obviously I have not had a chance to pick up the physical book, but I noticed it in the comic list, and you can see it right there on the cover, is the price point for this issue.
Yeah, well, it's an oversized issue. It's very thick.
Right. That was eye-popping right away. It caught my eye. And, you know, it's funny that would be the first thing that catches my eye on a book that I've liked, since I started picking, you know, since I started reading it. But it caught my eyes, and I thought to myself, why is this $4.50? Not having a physical copy, I couldn't tell you that it was an oversized issue until I started flipping through it. Mm-hmm. This issue tells pretty much a complete story, you know, beginning, middle, end. It has it's almost like an old-fashioned comic where they squeeze in pretty much an entire story in one issue, and I guess they needed the extra pages to have enough room to tell it. And I enjoyed this because it was a one-and-done issue, because you didn't necessarily have to go back and understand where all these characters were coming from. It took me a minute to kind of get my bearings and retrace what I remembered about The Activity and this particular special operations group. But it was a well-done issue. It was a good read, one and done. There's some sad, you know, for anyone who has read The Activity before, there is a sad incident in this book. I don't want to spoil too much of what's going on. I'm going to hit the bell sound anyway. But, you know, something sad does happen, and we have to move on from there. But if anyone has missed The Activity, I have. Obviously, with the Punisher and Black Widow and Deathlok, there's been a little bit of a, you know, if you're reading those books, there's been a little of a, you've had your Nathan Edmondson fix and even a Mitch Gerards fix. But it's nice to see The Activity back up and on the stands. So this is another sleeper candidate for a click of the week for me, because I had a lot of fun reading it, and it's a great, great thing to have a one-and-done issue.
Yeah, and it's kind of funny, because just maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago, I was looking at the stands at work as I was putting comics on the rack and putting things back in the right place and whatever, and I ran across The Activity, and I thought, oh, I wonder if this book's been canceled, because they haven't done it in so long. And then sure enough, here we got a new issue. So happy to see it. I'm happy to see that it's still going.
It's great stuff. It's great stuff. It's really well done.
Georgia's own Nathan Edmondson. He's actually from my old hometown.
There you go. There you go. All right, let's see what else. Did anyone read All New X-Men number 34?
Yes.
What'd you think?
I'm trying to remember what happened in it now.
Remember, I just read all this stuff on this long ride home.
I'm pretty sure I read it last night. Like a typical Bendis book, it seems like, you know, not a lot happened. There was a lot of words being formed, but not a lot happened. I'm even trying to remember how the issue ended. Like, what was the big hook for the... Because there's, There's not a. There hasn't been a villain
reveal. Right. They don't reveal. You know. There. It's a. Oh my God. Ending to this book.
And all new X-Men are in the Ultimate Universe, but like, there's been no villain for them to fight. It's just been like them experiencing different characters from the universe.
Yes.
I guess there's interesting stuff with Doom and Beast.
Yes. Yes, that's kind of out of the. It's kind of out of the blue too.
And we learned that Miles has a crush on our world.
We knew this already.
616 Jean Grey.
But we knew this already.
Which will probably be played out in the future.
You know, Spideys have a thing for redheads, right?
This is true.
But yeah, like I said, they end the reason why you're having trouble remembering how the issue ends is because it doesn't exactly end on the best cliffhanger. You know, there's nothing really dramatic happening, and there's not much lead up to it. So this is like I was saying before about, I think it was the Batman issue. This is one of the middle issues that is definitely leading us towards some sort of climax or ending. But, there's not much happening in this issue per se.
Okay.
Are we avoiding Axis number 8?
That's the last remaining book that I read. Yes. It's almost over.
Yes! Wait, we gotta cheer.
It is almost over, people. Next
week,
right?
There. Is it over next week?
I think so.
Awesome.
I saw there's been preview pages released, so that would mean it probably is next week.
That's awesome. Thank God.
Or maybe
you start the new year fresh.
Or maybe it is new year before only like two books come out. Like
anyway, hold on. Give me a minute. I can pull up the invoice of what's shipping next week.
Okay. Maybe that's the new year I'm thinking of. But here's the reference. They don't even reference what happened to a certain character at the end of last issue, if I remember correctly. Someone who got their head ripped off.
I don't even remember.
Someone.
No, Axis number 9 is out next week. Look at that. Sorry to interrupt. Go ahead.
Yeah. Inverted villain makes a sacrifice, but then we know he shows up in a solicitor book later on, so...
Yeah, we know that's not permanent.
Spoilers.
Yeah, seriously.
A bunch of fighting between inverted Avengers and heroes and X-Men, and I don't feel like... I mean, since I haven't really enjoyed this much, I don't feel bad about... spoiling stuff from it.
But there was a great... Listen, you know what's funny about this issue? I actually enjoyed this issue when it ended because there's a great... Well, one thing is, if you recall our conversation about this, about Axis last week, the character that we all heard was coming back finally came back. Right?
And boy, was that just like out of nowhere.
Out of nowhere! Out of nowhere, is there a tie-in issue where this character comes up, or is it just literally out of nowhere?
I thought he was dead.
Very dead.
I know his brother was dead, but isn't he dead? And then he, like, turned evil, I thought.
Right, okay, wait, here we go. Spoiler alert, people.
I mean, honestly, I didn't read those issues, but I remember at least looking up, like, Wikipedia a while ago.
Very dead. But you know what's funny is that the explanation is that Doom made a Faustian pact with a demigod. So I'm wondering if this wasn't with Loki.
It would have to be with someone that had enough powers to resurrect the dead, which I guess Doom already did that in Avengers World 16.
Right.
So, hey, bring back
More dead people.
And I do remember, at least when this person had their own solo series a while ago, or a while being years ago, that did they fight Doom in the first arc, I think, of that?
I bought that series, and I don't remember. It's embarrassing. I own that series.
Because I wasn't collecting comics at that time, but it seemed like I remember at least flipping through, like, the bookstore, like Barnes & Noble or somewhere like that, seeing this person sort of, like, New Orleans.
Right. But my favorite part of this book, people, and it actually made, if we could pick a scene of the week, a favorite scene of the week. My favorite scene this week was seeing the Cap armor from pre-Mark Waid Captain America. We're going way back to the mid-90s here.
Oh, so that costume has been seen
Yes, the Cap armor. The last time that that the Super Soldier Serum was like what was not the last time because it's a common trope in the Captain America comics, but the Super Soldier Serum was like breaking down in Steve Rogers' body. It's not spoilers because this happened a long time ago, forcing him to wear armor. And this was basically, you know, a nod to where 90s comics were going, and they tried to armor up Cap. But this led into one of the great rebirths of the Captain America comic book, led by Mark Waid and Ron Garney. And it was a great, great storyline. It's one of my favorite Cap storylines. This is a precursor, you know, this was immediately preceding that storyline. And seeing this armor come back kind of made me giggle, like literally giggle. I was like, oh my goodness, I can't believe they brought this back. But you can tell this is what Remender's sort of mining, that mid-90s, you know, all the mid-90s Marvel books. If you go through all his current Marvel stuff, that is what Remender is mining, the Onslaught era, this era of Cap. It's kind of funny that Remender is kind of mining that time period to make old things new again. So, like I said, that was one of my favorite scenes of the week because it just made me laugh. I think I laughed out loud on the bus, you know, where there's all this huge crowd of people trying to get home late on a Thursday night, and they're just like, "What is this crazy person doing, laughing? You know, looking at his tablet." And I saw that, and I just couldn't stop myself. It was hysterical.
This series seems like a whole bunch of, like, out there, here's something. Even as cool as that final image was, just kind of like, hey, here it is.
Yeah.
Here's the supposedly main villain of the whole story that you haven't seen since before?
I don't know.
Where's he been the whole time?
I don't know.
Jarvis hit him or something?
Hit him in plain sight. This story has been very hard to read. I'm wondering if you think it's going to read better in collected edition or just reading it all at once?
Nope.
You don't think so? Nope. All right.
I think it
pretty adamant about it.
Aftermath. I'm ready for Uncanny Avengers to relaunch. I'm ready for all that. That'll be good because it'll just be Remender dealing with his characters, and he can get in their heads and do what he does best. But yeah, this... Why?
I got you.
This is one of the times where Marvel shouldn't have taken someone's idea and expanded it to this big crossover event. Could have kept it small. Rant over.
All right. Let's see. What else do we have up? Caught some DC this week. Yeah, sorry for being a little disorganized. I didn't have a chance to write down anything I read. I was just sort of reading things as I was traveling.
Actually, has anybody been reading the new Wonder Woman?
No, but I know that something happens this issue.
I read the previous issue and I was like, nope.
I don't know. I enjoyed 36 fine for being a technically, I guess, a soft relaunch with bringing in, you know, new creative team and everything. Basically, what's happening in the last couple issues is everything crazy that's been going on with the Wonder Woman character, with all these different things that they've done. Like, everything is now, I guess, in a sense, the dust is settling on all these major changes, and now you're seeing these conflicts growing out of all these different storylines that she's been pulled into. So she's the queen of the Amazons, but she's never there. She's the ambassador, you know, to man's world as part of the Justice League, and so she's always being pulled away. She's the god of war. She's taken over the job from Ares, but she doesn't quite understand what that really means or how it all works out or what all is at her disposal. Her mother has been killed, so she's got to deal with that. She's in the relationship with Superman and having to deal with, you know, dealing with another person outside of yourself, and like all of these different things are now taking their toll on her. And on the one hand, I kind of enjoy the way it's kind of tongue-in-cheeking itself in a bit, where all these different things are going on, and you know, there's these different statements that come out from time to time where she's just like, I don't know, you know, like what's going on, or like, I don't know what's going on, Like, I don't even know what's happening anymore because of all the different writers and all the different books that she's been in and the different crazy things that they've tried to do with the character. And I just think it's kind of been fun to see how they play with that. But then also here at the end of issue 37, you do have a major character return on the very last page. So without giving it away or any big spoilers, if you're a fan of the mythos, you kind of know what character has been missing within the New 52. Mm-hmm. Then here you go with this the character returning here at the end of issue 37.
Mm-hmm.
So it's one of those things where even if you're not too familiar with the character and you haven't been reading the series as it's been going along for the last couple of years, you can start with 36 and 37 and you'll be fine.
Nice. And, of course, the tease at the end.
And the artwork's great, too.
Something to look forward to.
Oh, yeah, it's Finch.
It's pretty.
Yeah, it is. It is, it is. All right. Let's see.
What else?
No one read Spider-Woman number 2. I know it's going to... Or Scarlet Spiders number 2. Some Spider-Verse stuff, maybe.
Speaking of which, how did Roddy Cat not have the new Spider-Woman outfit in the news? Shame on you, Roddy.
What happened?
Spider-Woman got a new costume redesign from Chris Anka.
Really?
Yep.
When did this drop today?
Today, this morning.
Oh, okay. That would explain why I didn't know.
I like it.
Interesting.
Practical. It's kind of like the Batgirl redesign. She's got a jacket and like goggles, no mask.
Really?
It'll debut. I guess they announced it playable character in Spider-Man Unlimited mobile game. And I guess the new outfit will be in that. But it'll make its comic debut in March 2015 when the new arc starts.
Wow.
A street-level approach. So after the whole Spider-Verse stuff is over with, I guess, she'll be hitting the streets. And Ben Urich will be a guest star.
Mm-hmm. Or at least
yes.
A big part of the supporting cast.
The supporting cast is what I was looking for. Yes.
So I'm looking at the costume now, and it's always going to be form-fitting because it's a female, but it's less overtly sexy than the original Spider-Woman costume, or at least the way that they've been drawing her lately. So it is more practical. It definitely looks more super spy-ish.
It's definitely much more in the modern vein of an outfit that's been put together as opposed to a superhero costume.
Yes.
Like, it looks almost like...
you could put it together yourself.
Well, I was going to say, it looks almost like a motorcycle rider's, leather outfit that they wear to keep safe, you know, when you're on the highway type of thing. It looks more along the lines of these are things that you could have customized at a bike shop as opposed to one of these... you know, form-fitting spandex costumes that don't really make a whole lot of sense in terms of gravity and materials and, you know, the way they just happen to fit perfectly and flow in the wind quite right. This is much more of almost, in a sense, giving cosplayers something that they're going to be able to aim for this year at all the conventions.
Yep. But I guess tell us about the issue... Agent 70?
Well, I haven't read it yet. I was kind of hoping that someone would talk about like Spider-Verse at least so we could, you know, cleanse the palate of Axis. Nobody read any Spider-Verse so we could talk about something other than Axis.
I'm gonna read Scarlet Spiders number 2, but I will say I didn't enjoy this issue 1 as much as I thought I would a couple weeks ago.
Right.
I'll be reading it just because it's kind of a part of Spider-Verse. Tell us about, let's see, Dirt read more stuff than this.
Wow, Inhuman number 10 was out this week? I did not read that yet. Dang.
Yeah, I gotta look for that.
Guardians of the Galaxy 22 was out this week. I read Fantastic Four number 14 just very quickly. I don't know if I want to lead into rapid fire reviews just yet, but Fantastic Four number 14, we're rapidly approaching the ending of this the storyline that's going to end this volume of Fantastic Four. We find out who the big bad is. He's literally, I'm not spoiling anything here, people, because I don't know if he existed before, but I'll ring the bell anyway. The villain is called the Quiet Man. And I'm like, really? Really, Robinson? he called him the Quiet Man, and he's been basically, he was in love with Sue Storm before Reed Richards got there, and now because Reed Richards stepped to Sue Storm and kicked it to her and got there before the Quiet Man did, basically he's caused the downfall of the Fantastic Four because of that. And it's just, it's insane. It's definitely over the top. It's definitely very classic comic book villain plot, villainous plot story. It's one of those types of things. But it was, you know, reading this and having seen the big setup for the fall or the downfall of the Fantastic Four and now this eventual rebuilding of them, it's kind of disappointing to see, you know, kind of pretty corny motivations of the supposed big bad of this big story arc that has torn down the Fantastic Four. Who knows, by the time we get to the end of it, Doom will probably be behind all of it, but you never know.
Doom will probably still be inverted though after Atsis.
Possibly. And I think I'm not 100% sure that Axis has kind of touched the last part of this issue of Fantastic Four. Is kind of hard to tell, but we'll find out more in the next issue. I'm keeping tabs on it just to see how it ends.
Plus, isn't he kind of doing heroic-ish things and time runs out 8 months future or whatever?
Is he?
I mean, he looks like he's trying to stop the worlds colliding, but...
Right, with the Molecule Man's help, so...
Yeah.
We'll see.
Doom is in Avengers World,
right?
Where they've been doing. He's assembling his own superhero team because the Avengers are all.
Yeah, but that was just a wacky story to bring about the reemergence of, spoiler alert, the reemergence of a supporting character from the Ant-Man mythos. So
yeah, but still, it was tie-in, so he was doing story. Good.
Yeah, that was weird though. I mean, you missed, but that was out last week, right, Dirt?
Avengers World?
Yes, that issue of Avengers World that we're referencing. Mm-hmm. Right, so you missed our conversation about that because that was one of the more disconcerting issues because that twist came out of pretty much out of nowhere. And, you know, we start the book doing one thing. I can't believe we're still talking about Avengers World from last week. But we started the book doing one, you know, like reading about one storyline, and because of, you know, editorial mandate or the storyline mandate, we go flying into another direction to develop an Ant-Man story. You know, it was just a very weird...
Yeah, from point A to point B.
Exactly. No, we got to point D without getting to B and C. Exactly.
Had to bring back a character from Atsis.
Oh, yeah.
Just get him out there somehow.
That's right.
But, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, at least it was entertaining.
All right. Glad you liked it.
I'm not a purist on Avengers. I'm not as deeply woven into it, so.
I gotcha. See, I'm disappointed that I didn't have a chance to read Inhuman number 10 because I've been enjoying the series, and I always like to mention it, and it's been a click of the week of mine for a number of weeks, so that's something I'm going to try to pick up and read as soon as I can. That's a great cover, by the way.
Same here. Plus, Stegman gets to draw Spider-Man again.
Yep. Are there any other books you guys want to mention?
Review pile, but it's not.
Well, here, let me quickly talk about Future's End.
You still reading it?
I am still reading it. It's still enjoyable.
Okay, good.
Yeah, no, it's not that bad, really. once you pass that initial hump, it's all right. The key thing, though, is that in this particular issue, they do a Terminator 2 type of reveal, where... You find out that...
That's not Deadpool, is it?
Oh, on the cover?
That's funny. It's Deathstroke.
No,
right?
That's 50 Sue is her name. Okay. She's the character that is believed to be Darkseid's daughter and has all of these amazing powers. Deathstroke...
Forgive me for thinking she looks like Deadpool.
I was going to say...
Well, it's Deathstroke. She took the Deathstroke costume.
She's DC's version of Layla Miller?
Well, she's like a 9-year-old girl or whatever.
Okay.
But what they've done is they've established now, you know, in the future, Brother Eye has taken over everything, and he's made, like, these cyborgs out of all the heroes and villains that he's captured and turned them into these crazy machines that are tracking everybody else down and assimilating them into his system. And so Batman Beyond has you know, come back in time to try to stop this from happening. And what you find out is when he travels back in time, there's a piece of technology that travels back with him. That piece of technology was then found by Mr. Terrific, who is building the technology of the future to get into the hands of the masses and blah, 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 blah. And he's developing technology off of this thing that has come from the future. And now this future technology is being interfaced by Brother I to set up the technology of the future that takes over the world to come back to the past. So they're kind of doing that Terminator 2 reveal where, you know, the Terminator that gets destroyed at the end of one, Cyberdyne Systems finds the pieces, starts doing the research, and they end up building the Terminators in the future that end up coming back in time. You know, it's that circle of what's happening in time. So you get the reveal in this issue that the pieces that have come back with Batman Beyond are the pieces that end up becoming the blueprint for the future of what happens. So you have that nice Terminator 2 moment in the middle of this book. So that was an enjoyable little, you know, wink and nod. In the,
so then in the storyline, in like 5 years, they'll do another story to reboot the whole franchise, except when Batman Beyond goes back in time, he'll run into himself, who's been in our past hiding in secrecy.
No. They'll have a crisis by then that wipes everything out.
That's funny.
But no, it's an enjoyable series still. I still like it, so... So right. Nanny Nanny Boo Boo.
I look at these covers. I look at these covers to Future's End and Earth 2 World's End. It's like 10 plus people on these credits listed on these covers. That's like fun. Good grief.
Yeah, World's End was one I was gonna skip, but now that they brought Darkseid into it, I think I'm gonna go back and start reading it.
Well, that one only has like 4 people.
Yeah, that's almost like a normal team on that one.
But, like, no lie, the previous issues were looking like movie credits.
Yeah, because that's what you have here on Future's End with all the different writers and artists.
Yeah.
Did you read... Dirt, did you happen to take a look at Multiversity Thunderworld?
I did briefly. I didn't put it on my list because I didn't get a chance to read it in depth before I wanted to do it. It's a oversized book with a lot of pages in there, so I read it. You know, like the quick skim of the entire issue, but didn't get a chance to go back and read it in depth.
I didn't read it. I just got I was attracted to the cover because the big red cheese is on it.
Yeah, and it's entirely set in that world.
Gotcha.
And it is there. It's the first glimpse of that universe for the multiverse.
Gotcha.
First opportunity that they have to see that there are other worlds out there is what's happening in this story. But the story plays out like a classic Captain Marvel, a.k.a. Shazam storyline.
Right. What I was going to say is the only, really, the two things that caught my eye were the title and the cover. The cover because of the big red cheese being on it. And the title because as soon as I read this in the list of books that was out this week, all I had was Thunder Road by Springsteen, you know, and the E Street Band in my head for like 20 minutes. Couldn't help it.
I'm sorry. I don't know if they make a medicine for that or not.
Ah! Thunder Road. It's one of the better ones.
But yeah, if you're at all a fan of the original Captain Marvel, a.k.a. Shazam, then it's definitely one to check out because it is firmly set in that universe.
Alrighty. So let's see what else. God, there's so much I didn't read this week.
I mean, we can get into the rapid reviews.
Yeah, rapid review time.
Yeah, which will be done.
Right, exactly, because you know we already covered so many books, and there's so many more that we just didn't get to read.
We'll debate my click of the week while y'all do that. How was Alice and Ada? Dirt. I'm like 3 issues.
Yeah, it's continuing on the storyline where somebody has figured out what's happening with Ada, why she's acting the way she's acting, that the fact that she's been woken up, so to speak, and that she is sentient now. And that, of course, is a big no-no in their world because once an android starts to think, they're afraid that the androids will rebel. And so they've been trying to keep it a secret, but somebody has figured it out. Dun-dun-dun. And so Alex is still trying to protect her, but now she's suddenly trapped in a bad place with this person, and it looks like the secret may be revealed to the world that she is, in fact, alive.
All right.
So again, it's a subtle, quiet story. Like it's very much a, it's much more about the characters than it is about the actual plot of what's happening, the way the characters interact with each other. But it's one that you have to read at some point. It's like, this is going to be one of those books that I don't know if per issue there's any like particular standout per issue of this series, but once it's, you know, all said and done and collected, it's going to be one of those things that I think everybody needs to read.
Nice. Nice. Have they established the duration or the run of the book?
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay. So there'll be multiple volumes probably. Okay.
Yeah. A lot of their other books have gone like six trades worth, five or six trades worth. So
gotcha.
You'd expect that this is going to run for a while before the story runs out.
Gotcha. Gotcha. All right, cool. All right. I mean, I've mentioned pretty much every book I read this week, so no rapid reviews for me.
The only other book then that I have to say anything about this week would be Star Trek, which they've been doing the storyline with Q forcing the Enterprise from the new movie universe into the future to see what it looks like when they disappear from the timeline and put them in the realm of Deep Space Nine. And you find out that Q hasn't done this simply for the sake of just playing around with the humans and seeing what's going to happen. Q is actually doing this because the Q continuum, whatever you call his race, they are actually threatened by the characters known as the Prophets from the Deep Space Nine universe. In the Deep Space Nine universe, within the wormhole, you had these beings of energy that lived that were never really quite explained. They were just referred to as the Prophets, and some people worshipped them, and somehow Sisko had this connection to them, but it never was really fully explained. It was just one of those ongoing kind of mystery things that they were allowed because it was some other life form that humans, you know, couldn't really comprehend and deal with. But these new adversaries of the Prophets have appeared who are very similar, but whereas the Prophets seem to want to help humanity or bipedal humanoid life forms, however you want to word it, these other ones seem bent on destroying it. And somehow the war between these two races is threatening the Q. And so the Q have actually brought Kirk in because they think that he may actually be the guy who is just crazy enough to figure out a way to stop this whole thing. And so that's why he's been thrust forward into this, you know, weird alternate future, because somehow the Qs have learned that all these shifts in the timelines and all these parallel universes and everything are somehow all connected. So if something big enough happens in one, it can have ripples in the other timelines. And that's kind of what we saw with the whole idea of the Star Trek franchise being rebooted, with them going back in time and,
you know, changing the timelines, yeah.
Yeah, seeing these big ripples. So he knows that even though this is an alternate future and, you know, could be considered a parallel universe, whatever, if something big enough, bad enough happens, it will threaten everything else, past, present, and sideways. And so Kirk is apparently the one guy who's just crazy enough to maybe be able to get involved and stop this thing. So it's a fun storyline, and it plays on a lot of the classic Star Trek, you know, every time they did time travel stuff and mirror universe stuff and all that stuff is just kind of touched upon and played with in different ways here.
Right, and it's nice. I haven't read this. I've enjoyed your recaps of this series, especially this recent arc, because it brings back a lot of fond memories that I have of Deep Space Nine and Next Generation and the Q stories. Yeah. So I really appreciate the fact that you bring that you bring this up and that you're reading this. I'd like to go back and read this. So,
one thing that's really key about this series is that the artist that they have here, Chastine, does a lot of photo reference in the figure drawing.
Okay.
So when you look at Kirk, it looks like Christopher Pine. When you look at Sisko, it looks like Avery Brooks. Like a lot of times, you have artists who will, you know, they're doing a Star Trek, so they draw a Chinese guy in that Sulu, you know. Right. It doesn't quite
for the sake. I was about to say, for the sake of either speed, deadlines, or style, they tend to, you know, draw it, you know, on their own. But I enjoy that, you know, when we have these licensed books that have actual people, actual actors portraying these characters. I enjoy the photo reference. I enjoy seeing that.
And it really works in a book like this, where these are actors that they are, bringing to the book. Like it dead on looks like the actors that they.
And it adds to the experience, right? It really makes it much more convincing.
Because in your mind, when you think back to it, you think that that's Sisko. You don't think that's a drawing of Sisko. In your mind, you picture the actor because that's who they've drawn it to so closely resemble.
Excellent. I'm glad to hear that. I'm glad that you like this book so far. And like I said, I'm enjoying your recaps of it, and it's making me want to pick it up. So
yeah,
that's cool.
And there's only one more chapter left. So when the next one comes out, you can sit down and read the whole story.
Nice. Nice, nice, nice. So click of the week time?
Yes.
All right, let's do, since I brought it up, I will throw out, I'm torn between two books I really enjoyed reading this week. One of them was The Activity, number, 16, and Ms. Marvel number 10, was it this week? Yeah, Ms. Marvel number 10. I'm so torn between these two very, very good books. Pretty much on opposite ends of the spectrum in terms of what kind of story they want to tell, but they're just very fun. I'm so torn. I'm going to go with Ms. Marvel because it was engaging front to back, some interesting conversations between Kamala Khan and some of her her age. We'll call them her peers. They're not necessarily her friends, but they're of the same age. And, she's having some fairly serious discussions with them, and it's just really interesting. Very well done. G. Willow Wilson has a great sense of where she wants to go with this character, and she's really developing a great character and a great story. So I'm going to go with Ms. Marvel number 10. It's, can't recommend it enough to people.
Nice. I will pick All New Captain America number 2.
That's a good pick, other than that pick, that cell phone picture at the end.
Just all good art, good story, even though it's still the beginning of the story. I like the seeds that they've planted.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of different ways the story can go. Looking forward to seeing what they have planned.
Cool. How about you, Dirt?
Well, I'm going back over the DC side. I am going to go with a series that I almost gave up on completely a couple months ago. I'm going to go with Batman Superman, number 17. I'm really enjoying this, the mystery aspect of it. Like I said, it's like one of those movies or TV shows where they're tracking down a serial killer type of thing. I just love the way that they're toying with the characters, the way there's... You feel like you're looking at clues and hints, but you just don't know what they mean yet.
Now, would you enjoy this story if Jay Lee was drawing it?
Sure.
Good.
I mean, I don't know that would deter me from liking it.
Only because in terms of the storytelling, I read this book and I remember some of the criticisms that the Jay Lee drawn issues drew, had from
Peter. Jay Lee. I thought you said Jim Lee.
No, Jay Lee.
I was like, I have no problem with Jim Lee.
No, Jay Lee. Yes, we all look alike, damn it. Gotta throw some schism in there.
Right, okay, so if Jay Lee was drawing it, would I still like it? That is a tough question.
Right? Because would Jay Lee's art translate to this kind of detail-oriented detective mystery story?
Or
would it be lost in the muddy artwork?
Yeah, I don't think it would work with Jay Lee.
See?
If it was Jay Lee, if it was Jay Lee, I probably wouldn't be reading it to begin with.
Okay.
Because that's part of the reason why I almost gave up on it a couple months ago. So
it's funny that, that Pac was writing it back then too, but he just had this kind of offbeat story, with the Earth 2, and that was just confusing to me, and I stopped reading this book a long time ago.
Even the Brett Booth art with the video game and Mongol and...
Oh, the Toy Man and...
Yeah, I don't even remember that.
Even that was weird.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right, so it's funny that, the art kind of picked up and the story sort of went along with it.
Adrian Sayaf.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry. If he's listening, I'm sorry I don't know how to pronounce your name.
Sayaf, awesome. We don't know.
Please stay on this book forever. I'll put it out like that.
Because I am enjoying Pack's other Superman book, Action Comics, with Aaron Cooter.
Right, Cutter. So, like I said, it's kind of interesting to think about what the story would look like if, or how it would read if Jay Lee was doing the art, you know. So, anyway, alrighty.
All right. Before we wrap up, though, I do want to throw down, I have the list of the books that are coming out on New Year's Eve.
Mm-hmm.
It's what's known as the skip week, because basically these books are going to ship to your store next week, but they can't sell them for next week. They're just going to set them in a box and set them aside until the week of New Year's, and that's when they go on sale.
Right.
But it's only a handful of books. Abigail and the Snowman, which is supposed to be a good all-ages story. I'm actually looking forward for getting that for my daughter. All New Miracle Man Annual Number 1 from Marvel.
Mm-hmm.
We've got Batman Eternal and Earth 2 World's End. Those weekly stories are going to be going, as well as New 52 Futures End. So all your weekly books are going to be accounted for. East of West, number 16. So I know there are a lot of diehard fans of that book.
Isn't,
we have a rabid fan base on that book.
Isn't now. S.H.I.E.L.D. number 1 coming out also?
Yeah, I was just getting there.
Oh, sorry.
S.H.I.E.L.D. number 1, you're getting your regular copy, you're getting your blank variant, you're getting your Deadpool party variant, you're getting your Scotty Young variant, there's going to be postcards, there's going to be trading cards. Yeah. So all of that stuff's coming out. And it's also, because it's a Marvel number 1 and it's considered a party book, that stores will be allowed to download cake toppers if they want to and go get a cake made with S.H.I.E.L.D. 1 all over the front of the cake and that kind of stuff. I don't know how many stores do that. But then the last book coming out next week, or coming out the week of New Year's, the one that I'm actually looking forward to is Star Trek Planet of the Apes. And from the preview I read, it actually looks like the Mirror Universe Star Trek. The Mirror Universe is supplying arms to the apes from Planet of the Apes.
Oh, my
goodness. I'm not quite sure how it all works out, but somehow the Mirror Universe Star Trek gets pulled into the Planet of the Apes universe, and they're doing some sort of gun running is what it looks like.
That's funny. That's funny. That is funny.
So there's your list for New Year's Eve.
Right. So, do we know what our schedule is going to be like for episode number 100? Did we discuss this before I got here?
No.
Well, we're off next week. It's just a matter of if we're recording on New Year's night.
Probably highly unlikely.
Yeah, but the week of New Year's, maybe.
Yeah. I think it's that night, because it'll be that Thursday, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's New Year's Day is a Thursday, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
So we can come back better than ever with the 100th. I think Roddy Cat's got some ideas. He sent me an email.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Because that would push it, if we don't do, obviously, Christmas Day, and we don't do New Year's Day, that pushes it to January 8th,
right?
The 100th episode.
Right. I don't know if we want to go that far or if we want to have that kind of time to prepare. I don't know.
We'll make sure to let you know, the fans.
Yes, we will let you guys know. We will figure this out. I was just making sure I didn't miss the conversation.
Oh, no. So I want to thank everyone for tuning in live to tonight's show or on tape delay. Make sure. Go to the website theclicknation.com. Follow us on our individual Twitter accounts. I'm at TimDogg98 and at TheClickNation. Agent 70 is at Agent _ Dirt is at PCN _ Dirt. Roddy Cat is at Roddy Cat and at News Nerds Need. And that is it. We'll be on a hiatus for a couple weeks. Want to wish everyone a happy holidays. Enjoy the time with family and friends. And join us back
for
episode 100, whenever that is.
Happy Hanukkah. Happy Kwanzaa.
We are signing off.
Hey!